When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm excited to tell you that Comic Relief and Acast have teamed up to bring you this Red Nose Day podcast mashup. We wanted to bring you the best of Private Parts and Man Baggage for a special bonus episode, Private Baggage. Hello, welcome to Man Baggage. My name is Russell Kay, and this is the safe space where I get boys together to empty their man baggages of all the viscous fluid of insecurity into my ear holes, my face, till I'm covered in a bukkake of insight, and we learn more about men and what makes them tick or not tick. We're talking about Generosity Day because it is a Red Nose Day special. I want to talk about generosity, open-heartedness, how giving people are. And I've got two of the most generous guys I've ever met. It is, of course, Jamie Lang and Alex Mitten. Yes, both of them over the hands. Mitten is in the house. I'm spitting for Mitten. Alex, how are you doing?
That's me. I'm good. I'm feeling incredibly generous. I know Jamie is feeling very generous because he's kindly given us 20 minutes of his time to do something for charity. So
yeah, that is. That is.
How are you doing, Langer Schlanger? Oh my God, how are you?
Russell McCain again.
Russell McCain.
We're going to rush through this like Latin prep before first lunch.
I feel like, okay, do we think we're generous as individuals? Russell, do you think you're a generous person?
I am with the people I know. I'm a fixer. So we've had a family situation where someone's come into the family from another area and I'm immediately like, can I pay for their schooling? What can I do? Can I pay for their housing? That's my first instinct, is to throw my money at a situation.
I was going
to
say, it sounds like you just throw money at it.
Yeah, well, I'm generous with what I've got, which, let's face it, from Essex, fucking couple of Range Rovers. I'll burn you to death in the forest. Might as well give it away.
Russell, sounds like some sort of gangster. Yeah. What do you need?
The thing that I'm poor on, that I struggle to be generous with, is time, because you can't, you've only got 24 hours in a day. So to give time away, like today, I would love to have joined in the cookie making session with my daughter and my wife, but I knew I should have been packing my bag for a trip tomorrow. Mm. What's the more generous thing to do? It's hard to call it. But when it comes to actually acts of generosity and charity in the traditional cash sense, I'm a bit of a fixer. So whether I'm doing it because I'm such a good Mother Teresa or whether I'm getting off on being the superhero in a cape, the end result is the same. What about you guys?
That's the big question, right? Okay, would you say you're more generous to other people or are you more generous to yourself? Are you doing the things you do because you're generous to yourself? Because actually the stuff that we do, we're talking about now, we're recording this on a Friday evening and we've all been working hard. we're all sort of,
Speak for yourself,
man. it's the end of the week. But we do it because we love it. But also I would say that I'm generous. I'm not very generous to myself. I don't think so. I don't really give myself.
Jamie, that is the biggest load of shit I've ever had. Excuse my language.
Your forearm size would suggest differently, Jamie.
Yeah, yeah. Honestly,
you're generous to yourself on a regular basis, looking at your forearm musculature.
I think, but I'm the same as you, Russell. I think that I'm generous with what I have, and I think, and all three of us, we work pretty hard, so we earn a decent living, and therefore I'm generous with helping people. Maybe I'm a fixer as well. So yeah, I have my sister who came back and she needed some help. And straight away I go, well, I can do this and I can do that.
And you gave her your credit card.
Well, I feel
like there's a difference between generosity where you actually have to put time into it rather than going, oh, my PA will book you a holiday.
Well, I did. I mean, I sat on the phones researching schools, speaking to educational. I did the school tours with my family member. I went and looked at the classroom. I looked at their syllabus. As well as being financially involved in it, I've done the research. I've taken charge of education was my remit and a few other things.
Jamie sits in his plush villa in Notting Hill, and he clicks his fingers to his PA and goes, woman, I need you to organize something for me.
Can you tell me, Jocasta, how generous have I been this week? Oh, excellent. That's above target.
Okay, fine.
What are the press stories saying this week? Am I a generous guy?
Okay, fine. Here we go then. Russell, how do you define generosity?
I would say I've actually got written down a definition in readiness, which I agree with. So I describe it as the virtue of being liberal in giving. So it could be gifts. Mm. But it's often regarded as virtue by different world regions, and it's celebrated in cultural and religious ceremonies in different places. But ultimately, it's the virtue of being liberal in giving. Mm. So far as generous to myself, I'm nervous about that because what I do for a living, I'm a stand-up, and I started from a place of, oh, right, this is me, this is my council estate, this is where I grew up. So I'm a bit nervous of losing touch with that. So I am head-to-toe in ASOS 90%. You'll find it hard to spot a designer thing on me, but then I'll wear a nice watch that not many people will see. Or if I go on holiday somewhere posh, I won't tag the location because I've feared of being perceived as someone that's too really? Spending too much money on myself. So my clothes, I'm consciously in ASOS shit because it fits, and why bother? I don't need a label, but I'll spend a shitload on my aftershave because nobody knows. So I've got sort of an in.
You
an
smell
in.
Like shit.
Yes. But you know, I recently bought my first ever nice, what I call like a proper car, and I've ended up I drove it to a gig once and I was just not comfortable at all. People seeing me in it, and I won't be doing that again. I'll use my tour manager or a taxi.
Mm. Really?
Jamie, you're the complete opposite. You like drip yourself in jewels and expensive stuff.
No,
you
I
love
actually don't.
You love a watch. Yeah,
but there's nothing. There's nothing wrong with that. Got? Yeah, but, it fits but with it fits your persona, or rather your persona.
You're Sloane Personi.
I've got several Personi.
My Personi.
But I don't think generosity to yourself, I think is an oxymoron. I think we're going to have to define generosity as being going out from yourself. So you're giving up something of yours to other people. And sperm doesn't count before you say it.
Yeah, I was actually immediately thinking of sex because I know, Jay, you're a big giver.
Generous in the bedroom. Now, generous in the bedroom. Now we're on to something.
Yeah.
So, how much time are you willing to spend pleasing the other person?
Jamie is a big giver, but
I love it you're turning to me every single day. This is the sixth time in the conversation.
You're easy. That's
how generous Alex is.
I'm not here to talk about myself. I'm here to talk about you, Jay. But you are generous, but it's like 5 seconds of generosity, like over a couple of weeks, right?
I have a theory. I don't think men are very good at sex until they get past 27. I think that men typically have this idea that they want to please themselves first, and then they don't particularly want to think about the other person because sex is more of an act of alpha maleness and this and that and all these kind of things. And actually, when we're much younger, and this is speaking generally, but for me, speaking personally, sex wasn't an act of sort of love and passion and things like that. It was more a sex of like, okay, this is exciting.
It's how you got the prefix to like you, wasn't it?
Yes.
It wasn't an act of love. It was an act of duty.
It's a way of keeping the Latin master well off your back. Well, not actually, is it? On your back, as it were.
But I had this theory that's true. And actually, then what happens is you get to a certain age when you're in a relationship or whatever, and you start to realize that actually, it's more in the bedroom. It's probably more. It's to be generous in the bedroom is a much better experience for both parties.
Yeah, I guess generosity, really what it boils down to is whether it's an actual selfless act, right? Are you doing it because you don't want anything in return? Is it coming from a pure place of like, I am just helping someone else and I don't want anything back?
Do you mind if I help you, McAtmine, at all?
I don't think that's true because if you're okay,
do you
okay.
get off on her getting off, Jane? The better question is if only one of these two things could happen in the bedroom, would it be she gets off or you get off? because if we have a sex session, me and Lindsay, and she doesn't get, on the rare occasion she doesn't get, that to me is a very unsatisfying session.
Yeah. Did you say on the rare occasion that she doesn't?
Well, it just wouldn't, we'd have to be very intoxicated or that, you know, drunk too much. It's the only time that would happen. And it,
you're,
never,
imme-
it
you're immediately like, picturing yourself as,
it feels like
sex god.
It feels like sex is not completed. But a lot of men would not agree with me because sex is completed. I don't mean we're talking about generosity here, but we've gone on to sex is completed when the man has completed.
I think I'm actually happier if they have, to be honest.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, but that's because of your ego. That's because of your
maybe.
Ego.
Maybe. I think it probably is a little bit, but also like you want them to have a good time. And if they don't, then they're not going
to
want
to. Well, let's bring it back to gifting because so let's move back out of the bedroom and back down to the Christmas tree or the birthday party.
I was going
to
say Christmas tree.
Do you prefer to receive or give? I'm not keen on getting presents. I don't need anything. A card is enough.
It's awkward.
My nose doesn't get put out of joint if someone forgets a card. But I fucking love surprising someone and giving a gift. I'm definitely more. And if I give a gift and someone doesn't give back on my birthday, I don't notice. It doesn't register. That's how you tell if you're truly generous. A fake generous person sends you a card. And then if you forget on their birthday, they're like, well, I sent you one. Where was mine? So you gave to receive then, not a true generosity. Whereas if I was to send Jamie, I don't know, like some present this year, what is a one-off, and you didn't reciprocate, it wouldn't register. I wouldn't notice. I wouldn't think, hang on a second. It would never occur to me, unless Lindsay pointed out, well, that's a bit weird. You sent him one, doing like the female auditor. That's fake-ass generosity, giving for, same as doing a charity gig, was a stand-up just for the recognition. It's fake-ass, doing Red Nose Day for the PR. And not for the goodness of what it is. There's some fake ass generosity out there.
That's what I'm trying to get to. That's what I'm trying to get to.
This Red Nose Day, your donation will help people here in the UK and around the world live free from poverty, violence, discrimination, and support them with their mental health. This includes helping people right now in Ukraine and the mass displacement of people in many parts of the world. Head to comicrelief.com/podcast mashup to give what you can now.
I think that there are two things here as well, because I definitely agree with you. But I think also perhaps, as a child, when we were growing up, all we wanted to get was presents from our godparents or our grandparents or our fathers or our brothers or whatever. And we were so excited. And as kids, we definitely noticed when a sibling or a brother or a cousin, whoever, forgot to give us a present. We would go down to the Christmas tree and look around the Christmas tree and see if there are any more left for us. So, and that's because we didn't have the ability to go and get things ourselves. I think when you have the ability to go get things yourselves or buy things for yourself, you actually don't really necessarily want anything because you go, well, I can probably buy it. You know, if someone gave you a house, you'd be like, well, that's epic. You know, they've just got me a house. But buying a present is different. I think, though, there is something definitely with getting, for example, I wrote thank you letters this year. And I haven't written thank you letters ever.
Oh, my God. I used to hate doing thank you
emails
letters.
Or letters.
I wrote letters. Look at this.
Yeah. You didn't write them. Freya wrote them.
My handwriting has changed where I don't write anymore.
My handwriting is so bad. It's illegible. They'd be like, what the hell is this from? Like a mass murderer.
look, that's my writing letter paper that I have with my name in it.
Oh, my God.
You're not helping with the story.
You're like,
oh, my God.
You're like American Psycho. Yeah. How long did you spend over that?
What are you talking? So that's my thing back. That's generosity. So if someone sends me a present, and then to reciprocate, what I do is I send a letter back, say a big thank you, and
but it's like, but it's also nice. Got a very very lovely bit of your branding on, which makes you look super smart. Like, hey, look at me, I'm doing well.
What sort of situations make you more generous? Are you getting more generous as you get older?
When I'm absolutely off my face.
Yeah, I was going to say drunk. Birthdays, when there's been exciting news, when you're doing well, is your generosity consistent?
Yeah, I definitely do. I'm over generous, and then it comes to bite me in the ass because I've end up spending fortunes on nights out and waking up bankrupt. So that is definitely not great.
Do you think it's learned or biological, Jamie? Generosity.
I think it's biological. I'm going to take that back completely. Because I'm going to take that completely back. Because actually, no, I, I think there's a little bit of nature in it, but there's a lot of nurture.
Yeah.
You'll be surprised to hear that I grew up in a pretty privileged background.
Right? What?
Get out of town.
Shut up.
But I never had to worry about a roof over my head, food on the table, whether we could put petrol in the car. I never had to worry about that. And 99% of the country do. And what happens then is when you don't have to worry about those things and you haven't really had to worry about money when growing up, your concept of money is that, well, it's always there. Then when you get a bit older to 18 and realize you have to work for it, that slightly changes. But as children, if you grow up in a family where you're struggling, and you know, Russell, you grew up in a council estate, so you probably had that mentality a little bit when you were growing up where money didn't come that easy. So therefore, when you start earning cash, you hold on to it because you think it's going to go. And we hear a lot of people talking about it, where they worry about the money is going to disappear because at one time it wasn't there.
Very true. And in lockdown, that was the fear, even though I just finished a tour and I live in a beautiful house, and it's inconceivable that I'd need to be like 100 years old before I probably ran out of that. But it's still in my mind, I was going to be round the back of King's Cross with my nan wanking off strangers to pay the bills within a month.
Right, you don't need to be broke to do that.
But where does that mentality come from? And I think
you're trained to expect the worst and it might be taken away at any moment.
I often think that fear of losing it all often pushes people to do stuff or like pursue things that they don't necessarily want to do. Like they stay in jobs that they don't really like.
Very true.
So petrified of you know, it's almost like an anxiety of not having money.
It's very true in our industry as well. In entertainment, it's even more true. So you'll be offered some show. It might be called Celebrity Bin Lids. It's a Channel 5, 12 parter, and I know I shouldn't do it, but I'm thinking, fuck, man. You know,
I'm actually doing that.
I know you got the job. It's a bad example.
Can I ask a question, Russell? Are you generous with your emotions?
To whom?
Family, friends.
Yeah. With Minna, I'm sort of reacted against my childhood. It's not that I grew up in like a cold, unemotional place. It's just what was not part of my culture at all. So including when we were like 19 and 20, when you get to an end of the night and we're all going home after we've been having a smoke or whatever, or just hanging out, you say goodbye, you just wave at the door and walk out. It was no one hugged, no one touched each other. It was cringe if you went, all right, see you later, and shook a friend's hand at the end. It's unknown, completely unknown.
Was this any working class person?
You do not kiss each other on the cheek. It's not that. It's just unknown. It's not a thing culturally, and it's the same across the board emotionally. Self sufficiency, take care of number one. Be careful what you let out. Mm. Now I'm vault fast. You know, not only have I become sort of middle class by virtue of what I'm earning, I now live in the most touchy-feely, lovey-darling profession you can do. So I'm all over bloody everyone, man-hugging people. So, emotionally with my daughter, I love you all the time, always kissing her, depending on what mood me and Lindsay are in. If we're not arguing, we're very sort of tactile. But not with my mum, less
so. Do you need it back?
From my daughter, yes. I need that like baby Klingon adoration, daddy, I love you type thing. I need it from her, and she's six now, and I've got to start letting go a little bit.
I don't know if I'd be able to cope if I was dishing it out to my six-year-old and they didn't give it back. I'd be like, what?
I know, but at six, they're starting to get like a bit cool for school. I've just got, just because I don't want us to run out of time, I want to talk about donating and Red Nose Day and all of that. So this is interesting. Men donate more in workplace giving campaigns and political campaigns, while women are the primary donors when it comes to giving charities of choice. So I would expect, if we crunch the numbers on Red Nose Day, more women donate than men. But if we're in the work and it relates to our industry, if it was, you know, the biscuit charity or something, you'd be more likely to go with it, or giving a donation to your political party, or should I say the conservative politician of your choice.
But do you know why that is? I think I think this is why, and it's an interesting one, right? Because and I think the data sort of shows this, right? Men are more interested in things typically. You know, that's why you would probably find more men who
what?
Are.
That's the most bold statement.
No, I'm explaining.
Women aren't hate things. No, don't
they?
We all know that.
Stuff. Yeah.
No, generally.
No, listen. So. It's in bed. Oh my God.
Language, reality, oxygen, all of those.
Yeah.
Men are more interested in it typically in like things. And actually, women are more interested in people. And so, what happens is when you see charities on sort of TV shows and things like that, typical charities are about children or about dogs or about all these sorts of things. And actually, women get an immediate reaction towards that more than men do, it seems like, because men can't quite connect as quickly or as emotionally as women can.
But surely the ultimate public service is being a leader of a country and a prime minister. How much more interested in people can you be? And women that do it are generally better. So why don't we have more female leaders?
Well, exactly. And that's the point. That's why we should have more female leaders, where actually men seem to, they run it like a business. That's why they don't look after the people. And that's why women, you know, look after the people. They care for the people.
We're hardwired and conditioned very differently to women. I feel like women are inherently more caring, more empathetic.
Yes.
Just because of the way, you know, people are mothers, right? And so they have to be more so, whereas men...
We're just the mother. We're the motherfuckers.
Yeah, we're just out there enjoying things.
Things.
All
Should we go
things.
Out and just do things today? Yeah, I'll bring a few things with me. I brought a pencil, a book, a shoe. Oh, God, great things. You brought in a box there.
God, these women would hate this.
Look at this. I've got a protractor here as well. Oh, that's one of my favourite things.
Okay, here we go. But Russell, do you try and donate?
Well, I've done several types of donating over my life. Some of them was just to get through college and have enough money. But I tend to put more of my money where my mouth is when it comes to doing gigs. So I do a fair few fundraising gigs. I do a lot for Rethink. And that's the worst thing for me to give up. The hardest thing to give up is 3 hours of travel, an hour on stage, going into 157 on my Fitbit, and then 3 hours home. I mean, that's a massive part of my life I could have been spending with my family, and we might raise between 5 and 10 grand, including for Red Nose Day. You know, I went on a convoy with David Baddiel, and we went and delivered malaria nets. Now, part of that is, oh, look, I'm on telly. But the other part is the warm, fuzzy. I mean, we delivered an ultrasound machine to a slum, and then it got used after we plugged it in and a baby was born. That's fucking just...
Oh, that's just amazing. And
it went beyond, I'm on telly, this is a good PR op, to like a fucking spiritual out-of-body moments in a baby born in a different way because of what we've done. As with Michaela Colfer, one who's obviously gone on to be massive.
Well, they did this happiness test, and I won't go into the whole thing, and I told Alex this before, where they did, it was a Harvard test, and they studied 700 graduates in 1912. And it was one of the only social experiments that ever lasted this long to find out what happiness is. And they followed them throughout their lives. There were presidents, there were prime ministers, all sorts of people. And at the end of their lives, they asked them what made them happy. And the fundamental thing that made most people happy was giving family, close connection with family and friends. That was it. Those three things wasn't fame, wasn't success, wasn't the things that we strive for. It's actually just close connection with friends and family and giving. Mm. And that's absolutely amazing. That's why donating is really important.
You fucked your life then, Joe.
Yeah, you got it back to front, bro. Millionaire on your own. Now, this is my favorite fact, okay? So researchers from Oxford and Kent universities asked volunteers to play a series of games that earned them up to £24. They were then asked if they would like to donate some of those earnings to charity. In some situations, the men who were being tested, there were women stood by who were plants observing what they donated. And in other situations, there were no women observing. Mm. Guess what happened when women were observing? Men were a lot more fucking generous.
Yeah, of course. Right, they had
the dollar gun out, dollar, for the babies that don't have enough. Suck me off. That's as far as their thinking went.
Wow. Literally.
Yeah,
that's so funny.
They donated between 50 and 100% of their earnings when a woman was in the room.
Wow.
But when there were no women, they only donated 40%.
That's wild. That's what there's this other test they did where they put cold and hot sort of things on people's laps and they got 100 people to do a test. At the end of it, they got they said to the 50 people with cold things on their laps. Well, they said to everyone, you can go and get a present. The 50 people who had cold things on their laps went and took a present for themselves. The 50 people who had hot things on their laps went and took a present to give someone else. And it shows what warm weather and...
So are hot countries more generous than cold countries?
Yeah, hot countries are way more generous.
Really?
Way more generous.
Really?
If you've got warm, that's why warmth inside of you does amazing things. That's why if you have a warm...
So Red Nose Day needs to move to the fucking summer. Guys, if you're listening to this, move it to July.
Yeah.
We could raise a lot more money. Why are we doing this in March?
Everyone's so tight this time.
Oh, my God.
It's true, you're more giving when it's hot.
So maybe if you're an ugly guy, go out on the pool midsummer. Girl is more likely to be generous. Oh, I think we've cracked it. Right, we're going to have to wrap it up. So it's just a quick one, a Red Nose Day special with Man Baggage. Thank you very much to Jamie Lang and Alex Mitten.
Russell, thank you so much. Thank you to everyone listening.
Hold up. Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.